Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. Southern Bancorp Studio here at Oak Grove. Bob Kelly and Dima. Opening segment, as it is every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. And we're happy to say good friends of ours and sponsors of our show. Got some basketball news to report to you here in a little bit. Probably not the greatest news we could have heard, but nevertheless, we're going to bring it to you. Good news on the Gulf Coast last night. The Golden Eagles jumped back in the win column after a Sunday loss with a 4-0 win. We bring baseball coach Travis Creel on the show every Wednesday. And, Coach, as I mentioned to you off air, glad that you won, but could you please not play any more games in weather quite as cold as what we saw last night?
Yeah, I hope that was the last one of the season. That was tough. That cool coast air coming off the ocean too. I mean, it was chilly. So glad to get out of there with a win.
Brisk, I guess we would say, right? All right,
no doubt.
So another stellar pitching performance. You guys shut your opponent out 4-0. But I know you oversee a lot of the hitting, and I'm sure you're not still terribly happy with 4 hits and 8 strikeouts, 3 walks. So what's your thoughts about the game, Coach?
It was 5 hits.
Yeah.
5 hits. My apology. 5 hits.
We're in a unique spot right now. It's just, I feel like the past 4 or 5 games, kind of just inconsistent at bats, and then when we do hit the ball really hard, it feels like it goes right to somebody, or they make a diving play, or rob a homer, or whatever. So it's kind of snake bit right now, I feel like. But this is a game where you certainly can't feel sorry for yourself. This game is ruthless, and she doesn't care how you're feeling about yourself. So, you know, that's why you got to be mentally tough to play this game, and especially to be a hitter. So, you know, I think we have good players, and they're taking decent swings, and we're going to come out of this.
How do you work through that? From a coaching standpoint, when kids get in a bit of a slump, how do you work them out of that, Coach?
Yeah, I think that our main goal is to get them confident, to keep their confidence, right? I mean, we say it all the time, if you're not confident, you're out. And it's easy to lose confidence in this game. It's like I said, it's ruthless. You can do everything right and get out. And that's why you can't be a prisoner of the outcome. You got to kind of be process-oriented and worry about swinging at the right pitches, worry about getting your best swing off and kind of just letting the ball fall where it may. But, you know, you can't hang your hat on results, because even though you do some things right, sometimes you don't get results. So if you're, if you're worried about your batting average, worried about results, this game will humble you pretty quick. So you just got to stay confident, keep working. You know, we're obviously going to just keep working, and, you know, we have good players, and I'm very confident that some of these guys will get going.
Coach, I want to ask you about Matthew Russo, and he's a guy, obviously, has done so much for this university. I'm curious on his confidence level right now. Just, I really feel like all season for him, he hasn't had, you know, what we're accustomed to seeing. So just curious of what his mindset is currently.
Yeah, he seems like he's in a good place. You know, I thought Saturday and Sunday in Jonesboro, he took some really good swings, and the wind was blowing in at about 40 miles per hour, and I didn't get rewarded. You're praying for him that some of those balls fall where he can see some success. And, you know, last night he's a couple of feet away from a three-run homer, you know. But, you know, I think he's a worker. He's going to work his way out of this. I thought his swings were much better the past 3 games. I think, like, that breaking ball he almost hit out last night, if it wasn't cold, I think that ball gets out. It's a ball he's been rolling over to the first baseman, and he finally stayed back. He finally stayed behind the ball and got it in the air to right field and almost hit a three-run homer.
in Jonesboro, they rolled out three lefties against you guys and really never seemed to be commanding stuff as far as velocity, but just seemingly that, you know, I guess junk that lefties throw sometimes has just been the hitting for the Southern Miss has been just, you know, the kryptonite almost.
Yeah, I thought their Friday guy was really good. He's career, you know, lefties hit like 110 off of him. He's really, really tough on lefties for a long time. The Saturday guy, you know, I thought we had good at-bats off of him, especially the second time through, and then obviously busted through there at the end. And then the Sunday guy, man, I mean, again, it kind of comes to not being results-oriented. I mean, I don't think we could have hit the ball any harder and just very, very little, if any, results, whether it was, you know, balls to the wall that get out on 99% of other days or you know, Dre Barrett had a huge two-out, two RBI single that he hit 110 miles an hour right at the shortstop and things like that. So, yeah, we got to find a way, you know, and I'm not being soft and saying we're doing great by any means. We got to find a way to touch home plate more. That's the whole point of this game. Whether the wind's blowing out, whether it's cold, whatever it is, we got to find a way to touch home plate more and just stack up good at bats.
Fans, Coach Creel, have always heard the term a plate approach, and I want to talk conceptually a little bit. How does plate approach change when you first step into the batter's box and when you have, like, runners in scoring position? Take us through that and educate us a little bit on what
well,
that's
yeah,
all about.
There's so many different approaches. It depends, you know, if you're facing a righty, a lefty, if he's thinking it, if he's riding it, if he's more of a guy throws a slider. So there's a lot of approaches that we have, you know, with nobody on base. Obviously, the situational hitting is different, right? We runner at second, nobody out. You know, whether you're right-handed or left-handed, you're trying to drive the ball to the backside or to the right side of the field. So we can either get a hit or, worst case, move the runner to third. You know, runner at third, less than two outs, is a situation that we harp on a ton. And we've done really good this year. So we're doing 20% better than our opponents this year of getting runners in from third, less than two right now. And basically that approach for us is you got to stay to the middle of the field. You can't hit the ball to the corners because they're going to be playing corners in. You know, late in the games, they'll be playing infield in. So there's tons and tons of intricacies that go into the game of baseball, especially the offensive approach. I could probably talk for hours on it.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to bring that up is I don't think the average – I'm not trying to insult the lay person sitting at home, but there is so much more to this game than people realize.
Are you sure that people on Twitter don't know everything about the game, Kelly?
Well,
that's news to me.
I stand corrected, Dima.
Of course they do. Coach, I don't think there is a sport that has more angles all the time working, you know, that one pitch can change the outcome. I don't believe there's a more complicated sport than baseball. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, obviously, I think, you know, you hear it from every person, every athlete in the world, that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do. But you know, it's not just hard to do, but it's also, like I said earlier, I mean, you can do everything right and still get out. So it can be a very frustrating sport. And I tell our hitters this all the time, man, if you're mentally weak, this game will prey on you. If she doesn't feel sorry for you, you gotta get up every day ready to work. Whether you're 0-for-3 or 3-for-3, that next at bat, you got to have a clear mind and a confident mind.
I thought last night Kyle Morrison swung the bat well.
Yeah, you know, and I was talking to our team after the game. If you look through our lineup, you know, Urban didn't have his best night, but the other eight guys all hit at least two barrels. You know, we obviously count how many barrels or how many loud contacts that we have. And the problem right now for us, the reason we're not scoring more is we're just not stringing them together, right? I mean, we'll have two in one inning and two in the next inning and two in the next inning, but we can't ever, you know, string them together four or five quality at bats in a row right now. And again, I feel confident, you know, we have the pieces here, especially once we get a couple old guys going.
Sure.
Yeah.
To get it rolling.
I thought a great moment, excuse me, in the game last night was the catch Higdon makes out in right center. I mean, in that wind, ball hit hard. That was a big, I thought that was a big defensive play there.
Yeah, I thought he played great. I think we played really good defense. Seth Smith played a great game last night. Mm-hmm. Made two or three huge plays to kind of stop the momentum. And, you know, if we get leadoff batters out against, you know, teams that technically we're supposed to beat, you know, if you can get the leadoff man out, that's going to make it really hard for them to score, especially with our stuff on the mound. We're rolling out one guy every inning. It's very hard to game plan for that. Yeah, those Tuesdays when we're rolling out nine guys have been pretty successful for us. Yeah, again, last night we pitched the ball really well.
Troy's coming into town this weekend, Coach. Obviously, they have probably have some motivation from what you guys did to them last season. But, you know, record-wise, they haven't had a great start, but they still have the talent to give you guys a really challenging weekend.
Yeah, you're spot on. They're very talented. Haven't played the type of baseball they want to be playing just yet. But the talent's there. The pieces are there, and, you know, they're well coached. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. They're going to have stuff on the mound. They're going to have proven older hitters like us, that a couple of them maybe like us haven't been producing the way they want, but they're talented and it's in there. So always a challenge when we play those guys.
All right, we're talking to a baseball coach, Travis Creel, and an announcement was made last night. I guess you'd say it was an announcement after the ball game. We want to ask him about when we come back. If you'll hang on, we're going to keep you just a few more minutes, Coach. This segment, of course, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue, and we want to thank our good friends at Forest Healthcare for all they do on our program. They remind you that keeping up with the Golden Eagles is fun, but you're always the most important player. Get an annual physical, eat right, exercise, do everything you can to make your health as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org.
By the way, Bob, if Kyle Morrison ever does play poorly, you tell him.
No, I'm not going to tell him. No, I'm not going to tell any of the big dudes anything except how much I like him.
There you go. Smart.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, our good friends at Eagle Tire West sponsor this segment of our program every day. They invite you to see them for premium Goodyear products, full auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg, family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. Got Travis Creel with us on a Wednesday, and Coach, after the game last night, Scott Watkins, who's on this show from time to time, writes for the Biloxi Sun-Herald. Coach Oz told him after the game that the decision had been made that you guys are going to move Colby Allen back into the position he has always been, which last year was an All-American relief pitcher. And then, of course, he threw an inning last night. Is there anything you can share with us about that?
Yeah, I mean, if Oz said it, I guess I can. Yeah, you know, him and Colby had a long talk on Monday, and they kind of both agreed that for the betterment of the team, the bullpen role would be better. And Colby's an awesome kid; he's a competitor, and he wants to do his best for the team. And he was great with it. I think he thrives in the big moments. He thrives with the adrenaline at its highest, and typically that's at the back end of a game. So. I think moving forward, that's what you'll see, and I think it makes I think it makes our staff even better.
You know, and there's so many kids, I guess, across the country, Travis, who, if you were to tell that news to, you go from the Friday night guy to, back into the bullpen, mindset would be an issue or a concern, I guess, for people who watch those players. Yeah. But for Colby Allen, I mean, it's almost the exact opposite for me, just knowing him and knowing how much he loves this university.
Yeah, he's a special kid, man. He's one like he'll kill you on the field, but you want your daughter to marry him. He's one that I'll have a relationship with for the rest of my life. He's what Southern Miss is all about. He's a grinder. He's a worker. I mean, a kid coming in as a freshman, I mean, he was not good at baseball, and he truly worked himself into what he is now, and he'll probably get a chance to play professional baseball. So it's a great story. He's a great kid. He's a great leader. And a great, just ambassador for Southern Miss.
And the other thing about the average sports fan, they think, well, if you're a sprinter, you ought to be able to be a distance runner, or vice versa. They think, well, if you're a pitcher, you ought to be able to start, or you ought to be a relief pitcher.
But it's two different things, I think.
And that, yeah, and a lot of people don't really understand that. But with pitchers in particular, Coach Creel, it's between the ears primarily, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of it is. And Colby is definitely an adrenaline junkie. You know, he's also not the biggest dude in the world where, you know, when he's trying to pace himself, maybe the stuff plays down a little bit versus when he's just trying to give everything he's got until he runs out. You know, I think that's when the stuff, you can see those 93s, 94s, 95s pop up. But again, Colby, make it clear, I don't think anybody thinks he was doing bad for us.
Right,
We just think that he would help our team be even better if we switch roles.
And it's the luxury of having depth, you know, on that, in the pitching staff, for sure. Right.
Well, Coach, we appreciate it very much. You joining us every Wednesday. It was a cold night, but a fun night on the Gulf Coast. And
I knew that gas prices were going up, Bob, but I didn't realize this thing in Iran was affecting hot chocolate prices down on the coast.
Yeah, they're pretty damn high. So I would advise you to bring your own hot chocolate if you go back down there. So you could have used a cup over there on third base, right, Coach?
For sure.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, thanks very much. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you very much. Travis Greer.
What was it, $10 for a cup of hot chocolate?
It was crazy. $28 for a hot dog, a hamburger, and a Diet Coke. Jeez. And it was too cold to drink the Diet Coke. So, yeah. My wife's a lot smarter than me. I told Dima, she loaded up, and I'm going, oh, it's the Gulf Coast. It's not. We're in the ocean. It's going to be warm down there tonight. And if she hadn't brought the blankets, we wouldn't have lasted three hours.
So no warm Gulf breeze last night.
It was nothing but warm. It was warm had nothing to do with the Gulf breeze. All right, Dima Mixon, you cover this team closely. So what does this do to the weekend rotation?
Oh, that's the question of the hour, isn't it? You know, Colby Allen comes out, and, you know, I went to PRCC Jones yesterday, so that's where I was. I wasn't actually at the game last night. So I was listening to the broadcast on my television while I was writing my story, and then I heard Safari Song, like, in the background, which is Colby Allen's walkout. And I looked up, and I was like, what? And here comes Colby Allen. And I was like, wow. And, you know, this kind of goes back to Monday when I asked Oz on the show, are you considering Graydon Harris being that Friday night guy? And, you know, he said, oh, yeah. You know, that was kind of his only response to that. So I assume Graydon Harris is your Friday night guy. I would assume McCarty English is still a part of the weekend rotation. Really, you know, the Sunday guy is really the toss-up in this scenario. But this bullpen has so much depth that I think they view it as, we really have one good starter in Graydon Harris, and really the rest of the arms are almost interchangeable, right? You have about four guys who can all give you five innings, and Colby Allen, Josh Ock, Cross Sively, Camden Sundstrom, not to mention Thomas Crabtree as well. So it's really five guys who you know you can extend. So really, and this is what I was telling somebody on the phone today, like, you can kind of just put anyone else out there with how good the bullpen has been, but you now what they what it seems like they're doing is going to be putting people in their strengths. Colby Allen's strength might just not be to start. His strength might be three innings on the back end. Does that really hurt the staff if he's not the Friday guy? I think they see that as, no, it's not. It's actually going to enhance the staff. Mm-hmm. Think about it now, guys. Think about this. Josh Ock, Camden Clark, Colby Allen, to close games. That's ridiculous.
That's not counting any of these phenomenal freshmen.
Exactly. That is a ridiculous amount.
I'm going to project it'll either be Sustrum or Crabtree.
Yeah, and that's what I could see any of those guys. I mean, mm-hmm. I could see, you know, Dylan Causey, you know, getting an inning or two, but that's what I'm saying, that there's so much depth back there that you don't necessarily even need a bona fide third starter. Now, I think they need a second starter. They don't need to go out there with just one, because Graydon Harris is doing what he's been doing. They really need one guy to step up, like a McCarty English, to start extending himself. Maybe it is a Thomas Crabtree, but I don't necessarily think this team needs a third bona fide starter.
Kelly, this pitching staff is elite. I mean, last night they threw nine pitchers, and really, Nichols never came remotely close to scoring.
And we said at the beginning, prior to the season, that was going to be one of the most difficult things the coaching staff is going to have to deal with, is getting guys enough work on the pitching staff to stay sharp, because it's practice situations far different than, you know, game situations. But Oz has been around a long time. He's a pitching guy. He certainly understands getting those guys work, even if it's an inning at a time. Keeps them engaged, keeps them working, keeps them competing. And that's, you know, pitchers are some of the most competitive people that you're ever going to see, which lots of times emotionally, that's why they only work 1 or 4 or 5 days, is because it takes some time to recover emotionally, mentally.
The enormous amount of, like, magnitude of this news, though, I mean, just think about it for a second. This is a guy, Colby Allen, who came back to be the Friday guy. Really the only reason, I mean, not the only reason, but a big reason he came back was to be that Friday night guy. And now that Travis kind of extended the news a little bit and said that Austin had a long conversation with him, what he just said on the show, for him to, like I asked him, normally you're kind of thinking of a, like, you know, mental side of it at that point. But with Colby, who he said, yeah, I want to do that. Like, I feel like that's going to enhance the team. That just speaks so much about his character.
That says everything about Colby.
I mean, that's unbelievable. You know, I thought that they were just going to move him to Sunday, maybe Saturday, because I didn't think, like Travis said, he's been pitching awful. It just wasn't Friday night stuff.
Right.
But they just took the route of just taking him completely out of the rotation.
And you make such a great point. The fact that you can move a Colby Allen from your Friday night starter to a reliever tells you the depth of your pitching staff.
It really does. It's almost enhancing your depth, right? Because you have
– it is enhancing your depth.
Because you have three guys who are basically All-Americans at your closers, and really you have 5-6 guys you can all extend, not to mention all the freshmen. So the bullpen is in terrific shape. Let's just say that. Really the question about this team is, when are they going to start hitting?
I'm going to tell you two kids that really I thought really pitched well last night. Ock continues to just almost be unhittable. And I thought Sustrom looked good last night.
Yeah, it was nice to see him bounce back from that just kind of weird outing against Arkansas State where they were able to get 4 across.
It appeared, I don't know if it was his father or his grandfather, but I think that's who was sitting down in front of us. And he looked really nervous when he came out there, you know. And then he looked really happy and relieved when he went out. I thought he looked really good.
I think if you had to name a comeback player of the year, if there was such a thing, Ock could be at the top of the list.
I think that's
exactly
right.
Ock and J.W. Armistead.
Yeah, considering –
he looked good last night.
Both of those pitchers, I mean, they were just – let's just be honest, terrible last year. Yeah. And Ostrander said, he sat both of them down and said, listen, this needs to be your year, J.W. and Ock, and look what they've become. I mean, Ock's slider rotation per minute –
he's nasty,
per whatever it is. It's honestly unhittable. I mean, you saw, like, Mississippi State, who's probably the best offense they've played, all they could do is foul it off.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't touch it.
Yeah. Well, pitching continues to be elite. Hitting has got to pick up. I mean, we're just being honest here. Hitting has got to be – like Travis said, you got to score more runs. This team scores 5 runs a game.
Right.
They're going to win 95% of
those
games.
That's what I've said all year.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you just can't keep winning games like last night 4-0.
No.
You're going to get beat because as good as the pitching is, you can't just depend on them to win every game.
And it's reasonable to assume that you're going to have some nagging injuries throughout, you know, starting to
– knock on wood. Don't say that, Kelly.
No, but I mean, it's just you would expect that in any sport.
All right. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher. Tune in. YouTube, Alexa, or Siri will play it. And Kelly, as we head to break, the werewolf's hair was what?
It was perfect. Perfect.
Southern Miss to the top.
As always, I want to thank Travis Creel for joining us on Wednesdays and recapping that midweek baseball game. 4-0 win last night for the Golden Eagles. DBAT sponsors this segment of the program on Hardy Street. Great place for all your athletic training, whether you're an adult or a kid. They've got a program for you. They've got great trainers, and it is a beautiful state-of-the-art facility.
You talked about how cold it was last night on the coast, Bob. D1. Having a facility like D1, if you're a Little League coach or a softball coach, you don't have to worry about cold nights like last night. Just rent some time at DBAT. You can have your facility
indoors.
I
wish I could have said in DBAT last night.
No kidding,
I'm going to tell you, I got really cold. MCS Home Center, home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project. They've got it at MCS Home Center. That's Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to help you. Hank Lott owns the place, and no better guy than him. 7329 Highway 98 West. And Kelly, what else is MCS Home Center famous for?
Well, let's just wrap it up in a tidy bow like this, Bob, and say if you use it in, on, or around your home, you're going to find it at MCS.
And they have peepers.
They do have peepers, reading the finest reading glasses in the world. Dima, you younger guys don't know anything about this, but us older people, sometimes we need a little help reading, and they've got all the different magnifications.
Yeah. Well, so can I ask you a question?
You need more than just a little help.
Correct. It is a lot of help. When you're driving down 4th Street wearing your peepers, can you see the construction taking place at the basketball arena?
Well, I did, but now all of a sudden... It's gone.
All right. If you listened to the show yesterday, we had some pretty extensive interviews with Jay Ladner. And one of the things Coach Ladner talked about was how important it is to keep Tylik Weeks and Isaac Tavares on the squad, and how both kids wanted to be there. And it was just going to be a matter of whether or not Southern Miss could keep them. And so I felt pretty good about that. And then Dima comes in with some bad news.
Yeah. Jeff Goodman with Field of 68. Reported that Isaac Tavares did enter the transfer portal last night. As of last night. Obviously, the portal opens, I think, sometime in April. So it's not like he's officially in the portal right now, but he's planning on entering the transfer portal when it does open. And it says it's his agent told Jeff Goodman. So, yeah, I mean, that's obviously a brutal blow right there. And obviously now all the eyes are on Tylik Weeks, which – And of course, you'd love to have both players back, but if you could only get one, I would take Weeks as well. Yeah. That's the bright side to it. Not saying don't want Tavares back, you know, as a Southern, if you're a Southern Miss fan, but if you only could get one, if you had to choose the guy who was dominant in this end of the season last year, you can at least build a roster around. Now, if both of them go in the portal, it's going to be another year where you got to replace the entire roster, even more than you did now with a bunch of guys who, you know, might have some good stats some other places, but, you know, hasn't proved it on the floor. But to Jay's credit, he's shown the ability to go get these guys. I mean, before the season, nobody knew who Tylik Weeks or Isaac Tavares were,
correct,
to be fair, you know,
correct,
or nobody knew who Felipe Hasse and Austin Crowley were,
correct,
you know. So he's shown his ability to get these guys.
Now, you were off the show yesterday. We ran the interviews, and then shortly after that, because we did understand that Coach had a meeting at 1 o'clock with Jeremy McClain, and I guess that's when everything got settled. So we really had your thoughts or Kelly's thoughts about now that it's official that Jay is coming back.
Yeah, I mean, it really felt like that was the decision that was going to be made kind of the whole way towards the end of the season once they started playing well. You know, he has 1 year left on his contract. I did get confirmation from the school that that is what he's coming back for, to finish that year. You know, it's not a rollover, no extension. He's coming back to finish his final year of the contract, and then anything beyond that will be discussed at the end of next season. So that's an important caveat. And yeah, so I was able to put that report out just kind of confirm that news, because I know that a lot of people were just wondering of what was going to happen. And it was just nice to be able to put that report out. But as far as personal, you know, how I feel about it, I'm kind of indifferent. I really can hear the argument both ways. I can hear the argument that there does need to be a change made, and I understand those arguments. And I also understand that, you know, to keep Jay. I understand both sides, and you know, that's the decision they made, and we'll see if it was the right one.
Kelly, your thoughts?
I think under the circumstances, again, like Dima said, just to reiterate, you can make the argument both ways, but I'm always going to try to defend somebody where I think the university hasn't really fulfilled a lot of the promises that they said that they would bring to him. And so I don't know how, if you're going to, if all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted and everybody did what they promised they would do, that's one thing. But if you're going to hold a person accountable for things they said they would do and you didn't do the things you were supposed to do, I think it makes it really tough to pull the trigger on something like that. Just my point of view. But I wanted to ask, Dima, on the transfer portal thing, is there any data out there that suggests even though a guy enters the transfer portal that they're definitely gone? I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are gone for sure. The reason I bring that up is because Coach Ladner has also been very open in fundraising opportunities about, look, we got to do what we can financially to keep these guys. So does that mean that Tavares is 100% gone simply because he has said that he's intending to get into the transfer portal?
You know, generally a couple years ago, I would say no. But generally when you see this intending to enter the transfer portal, that means he's probably already struck a deal, an NIL deal somewhere. Now, that deal can fall through. We've seen that in the past where maybe he decides to withdraw his name from the transfer portal. But generally you only see that with guys who really don't have an offer and just want to enter the transfer portal, if that makes sense.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me based on what Jay said yesterday, because in part of the interview that we aired, he said, people have been reaching out to both of these players since the start of the year.
Parties. Like a lot of times when you see people withdraw their name from the portal, it's players who just get in just to see what they can get. Instead of players who other teams are actively pursuing, when you hear they're intending to enter the transfer portal, you would think that they would already have a deal. For example, Chris Jones, he already had a deal with Ole Miss. Now that deal fell through because he went to Florida State. But he still had that deal with Ole Miss.
And the other thing, Bob, to expound upon your interview with Jay yesterday, Coach Ladner, I'm paraphrasing here, but pretty close, when he said the numbers that Tavares was being told were ridiculous.
That's what he said.
And that there's no way that Southern Miss could match numbers like that.
That's what he said.
So this goes back to the Sun Belt. We've kind of complained and lamented the fact that the Sun Belt is a very average basketball conference. But again, in the current landscape of college basketball with NIL and transfer portal, conferences like the Sun Belt are never going to get to be upper tier because they can't afford to pay the players that a lot of these, you know, power schools are.
You know, I had an interesting conversation this morning with Larry Boyd. Both of you guys know him, a three-sport letterman in his time.
You mean LB?
Yeah. And he said something that I thought was really true. He said that it saddens him to see the state of college athletics because he doesn't think kids fully understand what they're missing out on. Being a part of a university for 3 or 4 years and building a legacy at a university and carrying that, you know, that tie to your alma mater with you the rest of your life, and they're exchanging all of that just for money. I think that's a very legitimate point.
I think so too, but even if kids did realize that, I still think they would go.
Oh, I'm not saying they wouldn't go for the money, but yeah. you hear what I'm saying though. Those days, sort of the romantic side of college athletics, I see it. They appear to be dead.
Yeah, like if you have a homecoming dance, where are you going to say is home for you in college? But even before the transfer portal came along, the same was true of junior college athletes that then went to, you know, 4-year institutions, or with all the online stuff now. I think that in many different avenues of upper education is being lost.
And I think the problem, a big problem for Southern Miss is to try to keep some of these players is when you can't, you know, compare with the funds, you kind of have to persuade them on, you know, what they could do here at Southern Miss. And the problem with that is there hasn't been much success in the Southern Miss men's basketball program. They've only been to the tournament once in the past 20 years or whatever it is, you know, 2012. So when a kid hears an offer from, say, you know, whoever's on this list, Arkansas or Vanderbilt or St. Mary's or, you know, Virginia, whoever, wherever it is, when you think of basketball in general, that's just a really hard sell. I mean, a really hard sell for Southern Miss when you don't really have much, what is the word I'm looking for? Much success, excuse me.
Well,
success.
And really the only thing that you can sell other than academics outside of Southern Miss is the baseball program.
Right.
Right. And they don't lose players. Is that a coincidence?
No, but again, if you kind of reverse that and think of like a team like St. Mary's, you know, St. Mary's, baseball St. Mary's, you ever heard of that? Or football St. Mary's? Like,
no.
All their money's invested in basketball. That's why they're good every year, single year.
Right.
Gonzaga, you know, they have a decent baseball program, but most of their money's invested in basketball. That's what you see on the mid-major level. You normally have one sport where you're pretty much dominant in, unless you're James Madison, of course.
Yeah.
And then all the other sports are just kind of, you might have one or two solid years, but you're not going to be as consistent as that one sport.
And Kelly, before you got here today, this young man told me, we were talking about this transfer portal. He said if somebody offered him $750,000 to go to another show, he'd do it.
I said to go play golf.
$750,000 compared to what you're making here?
It's just a little higher, Kevin.
Man, crack doesn't smoke itself, Dima.
I'd be able to afford the Beau Revive.
You don't know what you're missing, buddy.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to remind you about Jewel Masters, our good friends down on Highway 98. If you've got some gold and silver you want to get rid of, maybe some old coins or some old jewelry. I noticed Kelly hadn't been wearing all his little effeminate rings lately. Maybe he took them. Did you take them to Jewel Masters and sell them?
Well, it was all fake, and I'm not doing drag anymore, so I really don't.
Oh, you're not?
I don't
Did
have
you
any
give
need.
Up that career?
Yeah, I don't have any need for that anymore.
Well, so. If you do have some legitimate gold, which, of course, Kelly's was not, you can take it to Jewel Masters.
Does he have anything that's legitimate?
No, I don't think so. But the peepers, but that's only because of Hank Law.
And two children.
Yeah, they're legitimate. Yeah, they are legitimate.
Now, we're not going to talk about illegitimate. Just go on with the spot.
I've met the two legitimate ones. They're nice young people.
Yeah, thank you. Go on with the spot.
Marty Vick gives you the best price for your jewelry. It's always confidential, and it's very fast, and you'll walk out with mucho moolah in your hand if you take the golden jewelry.
That gold turns into green.
I like the green better to myself. I'm kind of partial to green myself. So we really appreciate all those great folks. Mo Bay Beignet Company would be a great day to go down. And last night would have been the perfect night to get some hot coffees and beignets at Mo Bay Beignet. And then Genesis of Hattiesburg. Kelly testified to the quality of Genesis sedans. Who was it that wouldn't allow your sister?
My brother.
Your brother would not allow his sister to drive his car because it was a Genesis.
That's right. And she's not a very good driver.
Did you drive?
I did.
What did you think?
Well, since you won't let me drive yours.
There's good reason for that.
No, I mean.
We're riding it for that.
You understand that you've got a powerful, I mean.
It's a nice ride.
Oh, my gosh. It sure is.
It sure is. All right. News and notes, Damon.
Well, I was going to tell Kelly that for Jewel Masters, for the gold, selling the gold, that also includes the gold teeth he has. He can take those.
I got some pliers out in my trunk, Kelly, if you want to run down to Jewel Masters after the show. Yeah,
me and little Wayne, we got our grills. We're going to.
Well, let's first talk about the World Baseball Classic that ended last night. Venezuela over the U.S. 3-2.
How did that happen?
Well, the U.S. just could not hit the baseball. It was kind of sad. And
Venezuela's been hot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and of course, they got really good players on their team as well. That was the first ever World Baseball Classic win for Venezuela. Second straight final loss for Golden Eagles, for USA. Both by the same score. They lost to Japan 3-2 a couple years ago, and then last night 3-2. But, yeah, and then March Madness started last night. Two great games, UMBC. And Howard in the first four, and Texas and North Carolina State, which was another terrific game. And tonight, Miami, Ohio against SMU, which should be fun to watch. And then I don't even remember who the 16 seed game is.
A postscript on that Venezuela win last night, though. Two of the coaches on the Venezuela team, Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez. I mean, two Hall of Fame baseball players. And the point I want to make with that is all these parents that take their kids around to these nationwide showcases and so on, and I guess it could be argued to a minor degree that the future of pro baseball is in Asia with Japan and Korea. Mm-mm.
I don't think so.
No, the future of Major League Baseball is in South America, Central America,
Latin
the Dominican
America.
Republic. Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
That's where all the best players are coming from.
I thought last night that in the Venezuela-U.S. game that Donald Trump would throw the first pitch and then catching it would be Nicolas Maduro, but I guess not.
He couldn't get a release, yeah. Yes, in order to get
it. Could have gotten a gallon of motor oil out of it, he probably would have done
it. I will say this. I read this morning, and I've to the degree I followed it, about how first class the American team was after the game last night and throughout the tournament. They represented the country. They were very patriotic, and you got to be proud of it.
Well, it's nice to have, you know, people who represent your country actually love the country, unlike the people who are in the Olympics.
That is really refreshing.
And I'm okay saying that on the air.
That's refreshing, isn't it, Dima? That's
people
very
in the Olympics,
refreshing.
Oh, that was amazing.
And I'll tell you, it warmed my heart to see the way Venezuela reacted.
Yeah.
I mean, they never win anything. Yeah. You know, and the fact that they did that on such a huge stage and beat the Americans on top of that, what a great moment for that country.
And they were classy, too.
They sure were.
Everybody was. I think it speaks to the game of baseball, guys. Yeah. I really do.
I agree. Good news for the men's golf team. Sophomore Matthew Javier propelled Southern Miss to its third straight second-place finish. They finished 4-under at the Seminole Invitational down in Tallahassee. And when you look at the leaderboard, Florida State won their own tournament. But Southern Miss finished second, and they beat other teams from the Sun Belt, including Arkansas State. They were in the field. Arkansas State finished fourth, and Troy finished 10th in the overall standings. But that's the third straight second-place finish for the men. Jake Moffitt and Benjamin Fernandez also played well for Southern Miss. So the men rolling. The women finished sixth at the tournament that they were playing in down in Mobile. That was a 13-team field as they head now toward coming close to the conference championships, which the women are the defending champs. So golf doing well, and softball on the road tonight.
Yeah, they're at UNC Wilmington out there in where even is that, Kelly Greensboro?
Wilmington, North Carolina. That's why it's called North Carolina Wilmington.
I needed those peepers.
Yeah. Here they are, 175s.
Right. 175. That wraps up the show. Kelly, I'm going to run out there and get those pliers and get them gold molars out of the back of your mouth there where you can head on down to Jewel Masters.
I knew it was cold last night when you told me you had to leave in the seventh inning. Because you never leave a Southern Miss baseball game.
That's a pretty good sign. Yeah. We had it put away, but that still was a pretty good sign.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't surprise you that I listened to it on my way out of town, right?
I hope you could follow it.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock, everybody. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.